You are now listening to Metaquiasin on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. I'm your host, Eugene Johnson.
And I'm your co-host, David Liberty. Thank you for listening this afternoon,
KBOO listeners. And
thanks for your support during the pledge drive. We appreciate you emptying your pockets for KBOO this year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all your support for this program and KBOO in general, because this is one of the greatest places on earth.
Yes, this is the only radio station where you will hear from the poor.
Yes.
The disenfranchised.
Indeed.
The beautiful people.
The huddled masses.
All that
kind of stuff. Anyways, we have an action-packed show for you today.
Oh, yeah, lots of guests.
Yes.
Coming in and out and on the phone.
Yep. The first two that we'll be talking to will be from the current occupation of the Mohawk that is happening in Caledonia over an illegal construction site on about 40 hectares if I'm saying that right, of land that belongs to the Mohawk.
And weren't they trying to put a highway through the property or something?
Probably. It sounds a lot like what happened in Oka.
Yeah.
And so we're going to play a song about Oka, and we're going to play a couple songs and then bring that up.
Yeah, we'll get right to the Mohawk issue for you people.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
Indeed. Oh, and also we'll have Victor Mandan on later playing guitar and singing a few songs for us.
Cool.
And we have Janet and Rudy from Yushi to tell us the events that they're involved with.
Yeah, lots going on next month
Indeed.
Here in Portland State.
And we have Chris Francisco also, and he's going to be discussing the Native American Film Festival for Future Generations, I believe is what it's called.
All right.
And with that, of course, you know, I have to play this because it's like a theme song now, so here we go.
Our brothers of color, the misogyny is perpetuated by you just as well as it is by the racist society.
Slavery is like going into the armed forces, if you like. The whole initial objective was to break us as people so that we would accept whatever was going for us. And we managed to hold on to some things, and we're very proud of those things. I think that had we not become malleable, we would not, perhaps would not have been able to survive on this continent. So that's the upside. The downside is, though, that part of that malleability was our conforming to the mores and the points of view and the hierarchical concerns and the social structures of our masters, for the people who owned us. And the end result, in my view, is that we have adopted much more of their philosophy than we are required. required to. You can't live with masters without becoming like them. And we have to ferret out that portion of being like the masters that we are not happy with and not comfortable with and see as detrimental to us as a community and move to change those things. And it will not be easy, but it certainly seems to me it's probably worth the effort.
What makes it really terrifying is that with all this focus on the power of white men that men of color have, there is an obsession to get that power, that white male power. With all that focus, what happens when and if they get that power? What happens to the women? It's not going to be a pretty picture. So what needs to happen is there needs to be new ways of looking at power, rather than just focusing on white male power.
Uno de los peligros más graves para las mujeres de color yace en el hecho de ver a nuestros hombres frustrados con el poder blanco dominante, tomando represalias contra nosotras, así sometiéndonos al más bajo escalón en la escala de dominación. El asunto debe ser enfocado en comprender y rebelarse contra la forma en general que toma el poder establecido y rebelarse contra estas formas de dominación.
I know that's just like your land. I understand, Red. It's cool. Skin, right? That's what you call each other. Skin. I got it. I'm in there. Skin.
Doesn't subscribe to European cultural values is automatically assumed to be inferior. Our lives are somehow less valuable. So it's acceptable to allow the army and the SQ to terrorize Indian people at Oka and for cops to gun down innocent black people in the streets.
During the few moments that we have left, we wanna have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We wanna talk
There we go, folks. And we're about to talk with Jacqueline House. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. And there's a lot of action going on up in Caledonia, Ontario. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
And there's been a current occupation that's been going on for about 2 months, is it now?
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us all about that, Jacqueline?
February 28th is when we went on the land, regarding Haldimand Deep. The reason why we went on that land is because there was development going on through Henco Incorporated.
What's the corporation called again?
Henco.
H-E-N-C-O?
Yes.
Okay.
Prior to that, in November, the few residents from Six Nations territory went on there and tried to stop his development. And when they had started back in November,
mm-hmm.
and unsuccessfully maintained that. In February 28th, there was a few of us that went on the site and successfully maintained that. The reason why we're on the site is because we've seen their 20-year economic development plan, which consists of over 500,000 units from Hamilton to Caledonia to Hagersville. And what we're trying to do is preserve what land we have left.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've been on the site, on the land, and a few days ago, we had an archaeologist in there, and there we discovered that there's a burial site on the land as well. There has been artifacts found on the site there's over 3,700 or 3,700 graves on the site with their one of their lanes that go to the housing units over the graveyard. So that's kind of just that's really disturbing right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a history of these developers doing this to our people, our ancestors,
mm-hmm.
and we're just tired of it, and we're trying to maintain that good mind. It's we've been there peacefully, we've been there unified, and we've been there unarmed, trying to get the government to uphold the treaties that were placed there by King George III. The treaties were signed, our treaties are mutual understanding agreements between us and Britain.
Yep.
And there's a lot of issues. Everybody might be aware of, the OPP had come on the site.
Could you tell us what the OPP is?
Ontario Provincial Police.
Ah, okay.
And then there was, I believe, around 25 people on the site. And because we were still in negotiations,
mm-hmm.
they promised that they would not come in on the people while negotiations were still going on. So I guess basically we let our guard down, and that was the reason why there was only 25 people on the site, because some of us were going home, mm-hmm. and relieving others and stuff like that. And that was 4:45 in the morning when they come on the site, and majority of the people were sleeping. So it was kind of like, I guess you can call it a sneak attack.
Yeah.
On the OPP's part. My daughter was on one of the trailers sleeping, and she was wakened from her sleep by the OPP in the trailer. And then when she got out, there was a bunch of them around the trailer. I guess there was another girl in the trailer whom had been hit by one of the officers that hit her. They had taser guns on the people, and one guy in particular, they had tasered him four times, and when they fell to the ground, they jumped on the OPP, jumped on them. There was four, sometimes up to eight on one person. When I had gotten to the site, they had taken over the whole land. And as the people gathered from Six Nations, we took over the land from the OPP. There was four sites that were, four camps.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, four camps that were overrun by the OPP police force. And we claimed that those sites by one at a time, like.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went back to the back, that was where in the first site, I was busy writing the badge numbers down to the police officers and taking pictures. And I seen a lot of aggressiveness towards our people with the OPP. And it was really frightening at the time, because from a woman's point of view, trying to not get involved physically, and at the same time watching our people being jumped on, because it wasn't one to one or two trying to handcuff one, they were actually tackling our people. When we went to the back, they had big guns out, and I was told they were M16s. Now, I'm not going to quote that, because all I know is that they were huge guns. And that was really intimidating and really scary to see that. And when I had thought about everything the day after. I was thinking, well, what were they, you know, had, what did they have the guns out for? Did they intentionally have ever intentions on shooting somebody? They were told right from day one that we were peaceful and unarmed. Mm-hmm. And there was negotiations and talk between our people and the OPP, and they were assured through our Confederacy chiefs that we were unarmed. And they had called a couple people on our territory asking them if they had we had guns in there, and they were told no. That was by our own police officers, peacekeepers on the reserve that approached our people. So they were told as well. So there was a clear, to me, there was a clear understanding that there was no weapons on the site. So why did they have their guns drawn when they come to the site?
Yeah, good question.
Acts of terrorism.
Jacqueline, yes. This is David Liberty. I'm the co-host here with Eugene, and was wondering if you had documented through video or somehow recorded these instances of brutality in case there's a court case or something in the future. Was that possible to have cameras there at the site?
We had our own people with the cameras, yes. And at the time that they had came in, they put the blockade that's up now, that's on the main road where the Caledonia residents are putting a little huff about, is that blockade was put there by the OPP to stop the press from coming in when they came in.
So
their intentions was not to show the world what they have done.
Sneaky.
Yeah, like they did at Gustafson and Oka and.
Yes, and actually, I've been doing some. I'm trying to do a little bit of a history brief to get it out there to the public, because I believe that I don't think a lot of people are educated where we are concerned. After all, Six Nations territory alone has never been at a table with the government since 1924. When they illegally imposed the elected system on our people. And we, the elected band council, handed over that specific land dispute that we're in right now to the Confederacy Council. So this is the first time that they've been at the table over 80 years. And I've been involved, like I went to different things regarding Anna May at Wounded Knee, how she was cowardly killed. And I'm not going to point fingers because we were told not to judge. We're taught that as we grow up and not to be judging. And it's really hard when you see the clear picture of what's been going on with our people, and it's always regarding our land and our ancestors' graves.
Yep.
And how the government has no shame, and when they've allowed people to, like prudent developers such as Henco, to be digging on our graves and to be digging on our land for the need of their dollars, their pockets.
Yep. Has nothing to do with the people, has to do with money.
Exactly. And that's another thing I'd like to say is that it's not about money that we're there for. It's about preserving what little land that we have left. That land is very sacred to us. Land in general is very sacred to our people, because that land was given to us by the Creator.
Indeed.
And all that stuff that goes along with it is a part of Mother Nature. And it is the women's duties to protect that land. And that land is our blankets when we place our loved ones in the ground. And that's how we look at it. And when we see all this destruction and all this stuff going on in the world, it hurts us, because when we have to place our loved ones in the ground, that toxic and everything that's going through the ground, that becomes our loved ones' blankets. So
yep.
It hurts us. And then we go to the site, something like that, and we're walking on this pavement that has our ancestors underneath. I mean, when I went to the site 3 days ago and I found out where the burial grounds are, I was, like, really hurt. And I'm still trying to fight back the emotions of it because in our traditions, we can't go to the graveyard, our grave sites, anytime we want. Simply because there's, like, we can go in there, like, twice a year, and that's when we clean it and look after it. It's very sacred. It's a ceremonial thing that we do twice a year. So if people can kind of understand where we're coming from, that's why it's so sacred to us, is because we don't have that opportunity like some people do, that they can just get up and go and visit the graveyard of their loved ones. Like, we don't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot to do with our beliefs. And so it makes it really hard. And, like, I have my four children have been down there. They've been involved in this, although they haven't been brought up and raised on Six Nations their whole life, and they've never practiced our beliefs and stuff on a daily basis, or it has opened their eyes as well. Now I can't get them to leave there. And then they're sleeping on the ground. Well, you know, they got straw underneath, and they got homemade tents. And I said this to Michael Coyle, professor of fact finder grievance from Ottawa. I said, you know, you place out a queen size mattress versus the ground, and the children are instinctively taking that ground, because that's who they are.
Mm.
They're so in sync with Mother Nature, and they don't have to be told. It's just that that thing that's in all of us.
Yeah.
As Ongwahome people.
Mm. Just a couple more questions. One, do you mind if I pass your phone number on to our newsroom people here, to see if maybe we can get you more on the news and keep consistent updates from you and what's going on there?
Okay, no, I don't mind.
Okay, I'll pass that on then.
I've been going out to different places, colleges, universities. I went to Montreal on a conference trying to get the message out there.
Mm-hmm.
Our issue is not with the Caledonia people or anybody in the surrounding areas or regarding that. Our issues are with the government and trying to get them to uphold our treaties as it was intended to.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's so many issues, and there's so many things going on, and it's all regarding this land. And the same thing, like, I was looking at Dudley George's inquiry, and that again had everything to do with the land and graveyards. So, our ancestors once told us, like, there will come a time when we've had enough, and today we've had enough.
Right on, right on.
And the other message was that there will be a generation that brings this all out and brings it forward, and I guess we're that generation.
Yep.
We've got the strength, we've got the wisdom that we were raised with, and the knowledge. And with that, we have the peace that comes with that.
Well, do you have any more questions, David, before? Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for letting us, for informing us on what's going on there. We're going to give a call to Hazel Hill at the occupation site. And so we'll let you go. Do you have any last words you want to say and pass on to our listeners?
I'd like to say niawa to everybody that's shown their support, that's given their support, that's there to know the truth, that wants to learn the truth. And we, just to let everybody know that we really appreciate it, and it's touched our hearts more ways than one.
Good.
With the support.
Good.
All right. Well, thanks for taking your time out, Jacqueline.
And we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
And now,
ooh,
little song before we continue on. On the phone with Hazel Hill. You there, Hazel?
I am here, yes.
Okay, good.
Hello, Hazel. I'm here, too. This is David.
Hi, David.
Thanks for taking time to talk to us today about... Mm-hmm. Are you in the camp there?
I'm just heading back there again. I had to come out for a minute and take care of some stuff at home, so I'm just heading back that way now.
And you'll be able to get in okay, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have an open road for the people of Six Nations to come back and forth freely.
Yeah.
That's sweet. How many people are at the camp currently?
I have no idea. I mean, it can vary anywhere from 100 to 1,000 depending on, you know, the time of day and people's work schedules and that type of thing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good support out there?
A lot of good support.
Right on.
Very good, yeah.
Right on. Well, we just finished talking with Jacqueline House, and she gave us some updated information. There was a news item about some of the locals trying to attack the village at, was it Monday?
Oh, the Caledonia residents, you mean?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they didn't really try to attack. What it was like they were holding a rally or demonstration, and a few of them were, you know, very angry and they did break through the police lines to our barricade on the site. I believe that, the police had to take a couple into custody just to calm the crowd down or whatever, but it was a little bit tense, but our people remained on our side of the gate. We just, kept to our own, our business, and drummed and sang, and it was, we continued to maintain that peaceful demonstration so as not to incite or anything like that. We just wanted them to, they're entitled to their opinion, entitled to hold their own rallies, and just kind of leave them alone.
Yeah.
Sweet. So how long before you're back in the camp?
It's going to be about probably 5 minutes or few minutes anyway. I was going to warn you, too, when we're on the cell on certain roads around here, the reception is really bad, so if you lose me, you might have to call back.
Okay. Well, we're trying to cram a whole bunch of people into today's show, so would you mind if I, pass on your cell number to our news people so we can keep in touch with you and keep it up?
Sure, that's what it's for.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And do you guys have legal support out there?
Well, there's been people approaching our people as far as, lawyers and things like that. But one of the things that people have to understand, the world has to understand, that the position that we're asserting has nothing to do with Canadian law, American law, or anything like that. It has to do with our own law that the Creator gave us, the Garden Law, called the Great Law of Peace.
Yeah.
And in those laws, I mean, that's what governs our people, and that's kind of like, I mean, that's the basis to which Canada and the United States base their Constitution Acts on. So we already have a law, and we're not subject to those other laws. And so sometimes, although lawyers can be helpful to explain how, Canadian law works and stuff like that, when we stand before anyone, we're standing under our laws.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. I'm so glad you guys are out there doing that work.
Thank you.
It's an inspiration to everybody, I hope.
It is.
Good.
It is.
Good.
Well, the support has been tremendous. We've had, Ogwehoy nations, different nations all across the world actually contact us, and it has been a big inspiration for a lot of the Indigenous people because, how they say, like, united we stand, divided we fall. For centuries, our people have gone through genocidal practices, oppression and those types of things, and because we put out that call to unite all the people under that peace, under that great law, again, it's like all those nations are standing up, and we're standing together, even if we're divided by big waters and lands and stuff like that. We're still standing together.
Right on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard that there's a possible media blackout.
Well, it's kind of been the way since the beginning. The biggest attention we got, of course, is after the OPP attacked us on the 20th, and the big media kind of like around for a few days, and then they go back, and when there's nothing happened, it's not interesting to them.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting the message out, they've really downplayed the whole thing. They've tried really hard not to, and it's been all the little independent radios and newspapers and through email addresses and stuff like that the word has gone so far spread. And I really commend all of you for that because, like I said, the big media wants to keep it down, or Canada wants to keep it down anyway.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want the truth getting out in any way, shape,
That's
or form.
Right.
Yeah, they've been learning from the U.S. administration, I think.
Undoubtedly.
In that case.
So are you having any more problems with the police since the attack on the 20th?
No, we've had a pretty open dialogue. Our negotiating designates have been talking to them almost on a daily basis. They're working out what ideas that they feel anyway that could what they term de-escalate the situation, because now, since that attack, our people have to even maintain a stronger presence. We have to be prepared because you can never really trust the words that they say. I mean, they've already broken their agreement once when they said that they would be talking to us before they came in. There would be no surprises, none of that, and they totally went against everything that they said. So we are, we're standing, we're still on a red alert, I guess is how you would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. And you're not your grievance isn't with the developer, is it? It's with the government?
No, absolutely not. The developer is he's a victim in this. We approached him one of the first weeks that I was started working with the people there, and my husband and I were delegated to go and speak with the developer and his, you know, and some of the OPP, and we put it to him that, you know, it was an option for him to consider that rather than fighting us through the court, that he get rid of that injunction and stand with us and fight the government, because they're the ones that sold him the land illegally in the first place, and we could sort of work together towards getting justice for him, but also justice for us.
Good.
And he never did respond to that.
Oh.
It was an option that was put to him, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe he will.
You never know.
We'll pray for him. We'll pray for him here.
That is the right thing to do, though. You want to get him on your side, so you're both fighting the Canadian government. That would
Because, I mean, he is a victim, and we understand that. Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And have there been any destruction so far of graves?
Well, we are looking into. I can tell you that much. There's definite concern there by our people that things could have been ignored, and we're getting the expert people that we have to do some really good, thorough investigating on that part, because we believe that there are grave sites there, no doubt.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of getting that together in a way that can be presented and there's nothing that can be disputed, I guess. So we have to work on that. But we are taking care of that.
Good. Mm-hmm. And what can our listeners do to help support this cause, Hazel?
Well, basically, just keep doing what we're doing. Everybody's trying to get the word out there. We've asked people to contact United Nations, get international support, get someone watching this situation that doesn't have an interest in it, because we need that level of those eyes. Our people are not subjects of the crown. We're not a part of Canada. We're on a different level. We're a nation, a sovereign nation that needs to be dealt with on a nation-to-nation level with the crown. And so those are that's the direction that we're going, and we really need that support from the outside world to insist on that and to make sure that happens.
Well, we'll be doing what we can from our end.
Good.
Is there a website anybody can, check out, or...
Well, we have the email right now. We haven't got a website up and running. I know that's one of the things that's been talked about, and hopefully one of our computer brain-oriented people will be able to do that. It's not me. It's definitely not me.
Yeah.
But we are working on that.
Did you want to give out the email address? Or
I can give out the email address. It's The Basket Case, just like it sounds, all lowercase letters, The Basket Case, @... O-N, as in on, dot A-I, B for Bob, N, .com.
So that's The Basket Case @ O-N dot A-I-B-N dot com.
That's right.
Okay. And do you have, a mailing list you'll put people on to keep informed, or? What's that? You still there?
We may have lost Hazel.
You still there, Hazel?
Hazel? Sounds like the air is coming through and not the voice.
Darn.
Of Hazel.
Oh, Hazel? Oh, there we go.
We officially lost Hazel. She must have gone out of range somewhere. And are we going to try and get her back here, Eugene?
Yeah, maybe. I'll give her a call and find out exactly what's going on.
She'd probably like to make some closing comments.
Yeah, and then we'll move on from there. We'll bring up a little bit of music here and
get Hazel back on the line.
Yeah, maybe we'll play a little bit of Goat Carson here, and we'll bring him down in the middle. Sorry, folks, once we get her back. So here we go.
You hear a lot of talk about the Indian blues. I remember when I first got the blues. It was back in the 60s. I was watching TV. I was watching Star Trek. And here was Gene Roddenberry, one of the greatest minds Nuance of sociological comment, and yet there was not a single Native American on the Starship Enterprise. Now maybe we just slipped his mind. Maybe it was something else. Anyhow, I wrote this little song. It's called Captain Kirk and Custer. Captain Kirk and Custer, they sit down one day, had a long conversation about the USA.
Quick, okay.
Oh, look out. We got all kinds of technical difficulties.
Yep.
We lost our cell phone connection. We've got a CD scratching on us.
Yeah, dang CD.
We tried to call Hazel back, folks, but we couldn't catch her. We'll try maybe later on in the show.
Yes, indeed.
But for now, we have another guest in the studio with us today. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon. Is your mic on?
Oh, wait, no, it's not. Okay,
let's get your mic up. Okay.
Now, can you hear us, Chris? Come in, Chris. Speak.
Speak.
Arf, arf. There we go.
Oh, yeah, he's on and live.
So how you doing, Chris?
Pretty good.
So we're talking with Chris Francisco, who puts on a film festival every year here in the Portland area. Could you tell us about what's going on there?
Yes. I've been doing this for like 4 years now, and I've been really, really enjoying it.
Good.
It's the fourth annual Native Film Festival. I call it For Those Yet to Come because I try to, like, honor the younger generation, you know.
Yeah.
I started doing this by, I met a group of kids called Native Youth Movement from Canada, from the Vancouver chapter and Shishwamuk chapter in Canada.
Heard of them.
And they waved that Mohawk flag, too, you know. They
right on.
A lot of that freedom, you know, the
freedom
free
fighters.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, freedom living as an indigenous man.
Yeah.
Have freedom and perspective and thoughts, you know, way of living. So they try to follow that, you know, try to find their roots that way. So I honor them, and hopefully, you know, by, you know, explaining myself why it's called For Those Yet to Come, hopefully maybe motivate and inspire the younger generation to pick up that those thoughts and those perspective our ancestors once held. Like that lady said before, she said that they have their own law, which is the natural law, you know. So maybe it's time we start going back to that instead of following the laws of the white man.
Definitely. Indeed. It's
so,
a matter of survival.
On, Monday, May 1st, we're going to have Carrie Dan from the Western Shoshone Defense Project. She's going to be speaking. Yeah, she's an elder.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah, she's an elder that's been up to the United Nations. She's been fighting for decades for that land and to have to, you know, bypass the United States government because they're not listening and go straight to the top, to the United Nations, and let people, the world know that, you know, as Native people, we're still being oppressed. We're still being occupied here in the United States, too, by the United States government.
And is there a film associated with
Carrie? Yeah, we're having a film, and she's going to be talking. It's going to start at, like, 6 o'clock. We're having a dinner for her and honoring her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
7 is going to be a video. We're going to show a video. I don't know which one. They're bringing their own video. So
okay,
it's
going to
be pretty interesting. There's some real cool videos that came out of there made by, I don't know who, different filmmakers.
Yeah, they've had the horses that were taken from them, and now they've got a 700-ton bomb that they want to blow up down there on their land somewhere. So
yeah.
She's got a lot of issues to talk about that are going on.
Oh, down man,
there.
Yeah. Down a big mountain, people always say that we're downwind from that. You know, the wind blows down that way towards Arizona, you know, New Mexico. So we're affected by that, too, just by the, you know, radiation and stuff. And it contaminates the land, you know, and the waters, you know. So So it's going to be very important that we listen to her. She's an elder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's
always
very important.
Open up our ears and open up our spiritual eyes and begin to see Mother Earth as a reflection of us. You know, Mother Earth, she takes care of us. And if the conditions of the earth is the condition of its people, and if the earth is suffering, so are we going to suffer. You know, that's what the old people say. Didn't they? You know, now
it's true.
And then the other one's going to be May 15th. It's going to be like every Monday of the month of May. It's 7. Okay. And that one's going to be, the next one's going to be Century of Genocide in Americas, the residential school experience directed by Rosemary Gibson. And that's 17 minutes long. And unfortunately, I couldn't get her to come this year because she don't go to school at Native Voices anymore at UW. She was a student there at one time when she made this video. Yeah, she was able to come down, but she didn't show up, though. I was trying to get her to come this time, but she's in South Dakota now. Then the next one will be Dordat Desert Rock, which is a film that I made. And it's about Bush's energy policy, trying to, you know, use native land as a national sacrifice area, and they're going to, like, build a power plant, and there's only, like, already three power plants right within the area. And it's just, like, mercury in the water, you know, there's pollution in the air, people, you know, having breast cancer and, you know, kidneys, you know.
Lowered water tables.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're going to, like, in order to cool the power plant, you have to get water from somewhere, and you have to dig underneath the ground, and a lot of the water is being used by the native people that live in the land, right there on the land. And the place when I went down there was so ironic was that there's these places where they don't even have electricity or running water. I mean, we've been talking about that for, I don't know, ages now, and it's still the same. I mean, there's still no running water for some people, and there's still no electricity. And they live right next to the power plant, too.
Yeah, these companies, power plants, are making millions of dollars, but the people nearby aren't making enough money to have electricity or running water.
Yeah, we talked to the people that are the corporations. It's called Sci Global. We talked to them, and they said it costs too much money to from that main line to tap into that and run, you know, like electricity to the local people in the area. It's going to cost too much money to do that, but it's just better just to, you know, spread like a big old line right across the reservation to California and Nevada and all these places, but you can't tap into that and supply electricity to the indigenous people that live on the land. So it's too expensive, is what they say.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
they'll say anything.
And the fourth one, that's going to be a protection center. That's about Native Youth Movement protecting Shishwamak land up in
British Columbia.
Skolnik territory, yeah, British Columbia. And there's Sun Peaks. They're trying to protect that land, and they're also building corporations, you know, going on the land and occupying the land and beginning to build something. And then later on, they keep coming back. So we're going to add on and add on and add on. They're taking more land where these people are trying to move into. They're trying to where all the good hunting grounds are at, you know, the berry picking sites. And so the Native Youth Movement is trying to get back to the land, right? They're trying to, like, but when they try to do that, it's like all these nice places are being taken over by this corporation. So this film's going to be about that. And taking back the land, it just shows all these little kids. I mean, they were real young, but like from 6 years old all the way up to like 21 years old, that made a roadblock, you know, took the initiative on their own, you know, went out and made a roadblock, and so they were persecuted by that. And to this day, they're going to court for it, and, you know, it's a long, drag-out court session. But, you know, but they went and followed their heart, and they did this. And, you know, some kids, you know, there's a lot of gang violence going on in our Indian country these days. You know?
Yeah. Everywhere.
And what we try to do is try to, like, pick those people that are in gangs and try to, like, talk to them about their land, talk to them about environmental things that are going on, that something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Like up there in Mohawk country right now, you know, just like those things are where some of these gang members could go, you know, like be taught, you know, traditionally about why they're doing it. You know, we're not just doing this just to, you know, get recognition or power or, you know, pull a gun on somebody just to be macho or anything, but we're doing it for a reason. And I think a lot of those kids, that would be like an alternative for them. So Native Youth Movement is kind of like sort of like that. We try to like teach them the traditions and of the, you know, of their cultures and stuff. Like down in Denetra, I made a music video, a hip-hop music video with some gang members down there. And that's going to be showing on the 15th of May. So that's going the music music video I made is going to be part of that documentary I'm working on. So
all
it's all going to be all tied in together with that power plant.
Yeah.
And then the last month is Monday. It's May 22nd. And the speaker is going to be Lasana Marcia Redbear, and she's Apache and Chicana. And she's going to be showing her artwork, and she's a very brilliant artist. And she's going to be showing a lot of her artwork. And then she's going to be showing a film called Uranium Woman, an experimental film that she made. I've seen it before. It's really good. Mm. And that's going to be 5 minutes long. And then she's got Lasuka or something like that. And I don't know how to read. I'm not good in Spanish. And that one is like 5 minutes long, man. And then the last one is going to be What is Real and What is Artificial. I never seen that video, so I don't. But I'm sure it's going to be pretty good because she's also an activist, and she's concerned about Mother Earth. And so most of the videos that I show are things that have to do with environment and about indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I do is because, like I said, for those yet to come, you know, for those that are not yet born into this world. You know, we need to pray for them because you know, they don't know what kind of a world they'll be born into.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep that thought and that perspective out there, you know, try to explain myself to people why I use that title, you know, for the film festivals because the next generation is coming up, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibilities to stand up and rise up and be
indeed
be warriors, you know.
Indeed.
Protect it for them.
Is there a website or contact information you could give people?
So far right now, it's just Yushi. Contact Yushi? People at PSU,
Okay.
Contact.
And that's where the film festival will be, right?
Yeah, the Native Student Center, 701 Southwest Jackson, on the corner of Jackson and Broadway.
Yeah.
And every Monday in the month of May.
Except the 8th, right?
The very May.
What's that?
Monday the 8th. It doesn't look like you have anything scheduled.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
So almost every Monday.
I think there's something else going on. Yushi will probably tell you.
Yeah, okay. That's right. There's something else going on Monday. With Yushi,
okay.
So,
I'm just doing a film festival.
Pretty soon.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. And keep us informed, man.
Okay, man.
Keep up the good work. We'll try and get out there and see the shows.
Indeed. And maybe you should come down and talk on John Talley's show next week, too, just to keep people reminded.
Yeah, I
think
that's
a good idea.
Right on. Well, thank you, Chris.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be talking to you some more later.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring that down.
Oh, that's some good singing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But we got still a whole lot of stuff to try and cram into this show here.
Lots of guests today.
Indeed. And I may not be able to get to the announcements, but I'll tell you what, I will publish them on my blog, which is www.pudgyindian.blogspot.com. So I'll publish those shortly after the show here. So we now have Rudy and Janet from Yushi to talk to us about what's going on down in that neighborhood.
Yeah, so we're students at Portland State University, and I'm the coordinator, and Janet is the co-coordinator of Yushi, United Indian Students in Higher Education. This month of coming up in May, we're having a month-long celebration of Native American heritage. It's a Native American Cultural Awareness Month, and it's going to have a whole lot of events, traditional events like powwows, salmon bake, film festival, things that we've always done, but we're adding to that. Our Yushi's mission is to address the cultural, educational, and social needs of Portland State's American Indian students.
Got it.
Like Chris mentioned earlier, Chris Francisco mentioned earlier, he's affiliated with us. He's a student at PSU, and we're all working together to bring Carrie Dan here Monday, and she's going to speak at the rally down at the Park Blocks and speak about Indigenous rights and human rights and all the things going on with the Western Shoshone Defense Project. On May 4th, we have the Native...
No, wait. When is the rally? Sorry.
Oh.
The rally is at...
Monday.
It starts at 10 a.m.
Music.
It's kind of, you know, those type of things. And then at 11, speakers and whatnot. And the march starts around noon.
And she'll be in
right.
at 11 speakers in that area?
Yep.
That time, Eric? Okay.
That's right.
But she'll be at the Native American Student and Community Center at 6 o'clock.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yep. Someone speaking. On Thursday next week, a week from today, we have a Native art show, mostly fine art, and it's two Blackfeet and a Lakota. And
sounds like a joke.
Yeah.
There are two Blackfeet and Lakota walking down the street.
That's right.
Nice name for a rock band or something.
Yep. I thought so, too. Valentina, LaPierre, Terrence, Gardapi, and the local Adrian Larvey.
Adrian's awesome. We had him on our
TV
show.
MCTV.
Yeah.
I'm one of his best customers.
Oh, right, I thought I was his best customer.
He makes some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful painting.
And Janet can tell you a little bit about what we have going on May 8th.
May 8th is part of our And the Eyes Have It, Indians Ideas in Action lecture series that we're hosting. We'll have two professors in Native American Studies, Donald Fixico from Arizona State University, and Robert Warrior from,
Oklahoma.
Anyway, they'll both be discussing Native leadership and the history of the American Indian movement.
Good. Yeah, I've heard Robert Warrior speak before. Read his work. He's a good writer.
Great.
Yep.
So what else you got going?
We have the Nakam Powwow. It's one of the biggest well-known things that we do every year, and it's our spring powwow May 12th and 13th at the PSU Peter Stott Center Main Gym. There's going to be three sessions starting Friday, grand entry, 7 p.m., Saturday, grand entries at 1 p.m., and 7 p.m.
It's a competition powwow. First 10 drums paid and vendors welcome.
All right.
Right on.
Host drums, Four Directions.
Sweet. Good drums.
Local. Yep.
Yeah.
And then May 17th, keep going, Salmon Bake, PSU Park Blocks from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., hoping that we can get that salmon because the steer's rough out there.
Yeah,
really. Good luck.
We got
salmon.
Northwest Connection. They'll be playing.
Have to get it out of Canada.
They'll be our drum group for the whole day.
Or Alaska.
And is that free?
Right on.
Yep. The salmon bake.
$10
a plate.
Okay.
In the PSU Park Blocks.
That's a really good price for salmon.
But now you're feeding people at the powwow, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We have a community dinner for free. Yeah. We're donations gratefully accepted, but yeah, it'll all be right. For the community. Anybody who wants to show up, be Indian for a day.
Good deal.
Officially Indian for one day. Yep.
Another headliner we have going on Thursday, May 25th at 7 p.m. is John Trudell.
Woohoo!
Trudell, the documentary, and speaking, and it's at University Place.
Yes, at the auditorium at University Place.
We're going to try and drag him down here for an interview that day. It's our radio show that day.
Yeah, he'll be here for a few days.
Probably have to get him in a headlock.
Hey!
he'd probably beat the heck out of me if I did that, though.
Let's not get anything started.
And then, of course, we have to include the youth. And so May 26th, which is the Friday, we're having a youth conference, and we're trying to reach out and spread the word and get youth to register for this. It's called Building Your Bridge to the Future, and we're going to focus really hard on getting youth to think about coming to college, community college, tribal college, but hopefully PSU, because we need students to continue the involvement. We're building upon our resources, as you see by the type of events we're doing, but we need to continue the leadership and involvement and bring in the next generation and mentor.
Right on.
So that, and one of the things I'm most excited about is the next day. It's the Culture Shock Art Show, and we're bringing in Andrew Morrison from Seattle, an artist. He's a contemporary artist. He does murals, all types of stuff. And then Brian Frijo, also known as DJ Shock B, and he's been in the recent film The New World, other ones like Geronimo, and a long list of things. And he's a promoter for Native Threads, and he's worked with big hip-hop artists, and he's also known as one of the main creators of Native Hip-Hop. And so that's going to be a really exciting event, which is free also.
Right on.
So,
yeah, I think I've seen Andrew Morrison's work. Wasn't he down here like a month ago at a film festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see his work. It's beautiful stuff, folks. You got to get out there and see it.
Yeah, his website, I would encourage you to check it out. It's www.onestar.com, and it's very impressive, and he'll be here for a couple days.
Sweet.
And hopefully get him to do a mural at the Native Center at TSU.
Yeah, there you go.
So is that about it?
Yeah,
that's about it.
Right.
You guys
good
got a
deal.
Website or anything people can check out?
Not yet. But we'd have a phone number.
Okay,
503-725-5671.
All right.
Right on.
Hope to see everybody
well,
there.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, good. We've got the word out to them, so it's their own fault if they don't show up.
Yeah. So here we go to a cart, right. And we'll play a little music and drag in Victor by a headlock.
Thanks again for coming down, you guys.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah.
And that was Eulalie from their CD, Eulalie, and or Makchi, excuse me, and that song was Makchi itself, their cover song. I do just want to make one announcement real quick, because I know you people will want to be jumping out there. Friday, April 28th at Beaverton High School, Native American Club Powwow from 7 to 11 p.m. at Beaverton High School. 13000 Southwest 2nd Street in Beaverton. For more information, call 503-614-1490. And with that, we have Victor Mandan in the house.
Hey, Victor. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
Right on.
Got a nice Fender 12-string there.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd love to hear some music.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, most of my music I make up myself, and this one here I made up because I was sitting in my window in the Hill City, South Dakota. And across the street, in real cold winter day, I see this old cowboy walking uptown. He's got on a short Levi jacket, hat pulled down real low around his ears. And he's just got his head down into the wind, and he's going for it. And it's almost dark, and I'm thinking, I remember how it used to be. It's getting that time of the day, and he's a little lonely, and he's going to get up to the mangy moose and have a couple cool ones, and after a while turn around and head back and make that long walk home. But for a little while, he won't be alone, so I made up this song. Ooh. sit under a neon sign, and I'll just sip my wine. Oh, the blues come around. Yes, the blues, they come around.
Sweet, Victor.
Them old blues.
Right on.
Them blues.
So you have a CD out, right? Huh?
Yeah, I have a CD out, and I have the initials OMOG on that.
OMOG, huh?
OMOG for one man, one guitar. All the music on it is just me and this guitar. There's nothing else on there. There's no backup man. There ain't no bass.
Is there a way people can get a hold of that CD?
Yeah. I've got a copy of it here in the library, and mm-hmm. I'll leave an address and a phone number before I leave. And
okay.
Well,
so people would have to get a hold of you to get a copy.
Well,
of
they'd have
CD.
To get a hold of Kebu.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. Kebu is your official distributor.
So you got another one for us?
Huh?
You got another one for us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have got enough for all day. I was going home from Redding, California, and I broke down in Utah. And I was having a hard time going home. And I was starting to feel bad about myself. And I thought, this is nothing. This is just the car. They make them every day. It's just nothing to feel bad about. But it wasn't that I could just leave the car and walk home. I had too many valuables in there. You know, I had some drums in there, and I had my guitar and some clothes and things, and so I just had to get the whole thing home. So I was nursing at home. It took me about 3 days. I'd go a little ways, and I'd stop and let it cool off and add water and go a little ways, and so. And I was feeling bad. And as I was going, I was starting to think of somebody who, someplace, somehow might have things worse than me. And that's how a lot of times you use blues to feel better. You think of some worse situation that's not yours, and then you think, well, my deal ain't so bad. It ain't as bad as that. So I come up with this here.
Right on, Victor. Thank you.
All right.
So are you playing anywhere good around one. Town today or soon?
No, I've been in the area for a while, and I'll probably be going home very shortly.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to be like back and forth around this area? Or?
I'll be back maybe next fall.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we have about less than 5 minutes in the show. Do you got a quickie for us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Where Hawa? Where do you come from? And where do you go? Sweet little angel, aha.
Been listening to Mataqui Austin on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. Earlier about Caledonia, we talked with Jacqueline House and Hazel Hill, who we unfortunately got caught off from, and their email address, which I'll also post on my blog, pudgyindian.blogspot.com, the basket case at on.aibn.com. And I want to thank all of our guests and David Liberty.
Oh, yeah, we had a whole lineup of people today.
Yes, we did. Thank you,
great.
Victor Mandan, Victor, for coming down, playing us some music. And Janet and Rudy talking. And
Chris
Francisco. A big shout out to Lee Ann for arranging the phone calls from Jacqueline and Hazel. And also, I just want to put a quick shout out to my honey out there, Mikkel, if you're listening. And we'll see you all in 2 weeks, or you'll hear from us in 2 weeks.
You'll hear from us in 2 weeks, folks. So thanks for listening.
Yep, and wait, oncoming is Firefly with Africa Oye, and here we go.
Right.
One last song.
Look at the big one across the sea. I'm sure that you'll agree. There's mean things happening in this world. I ain't got a crying time. I'm not worried all the time. There's mean things happening in this world. There's many things happening in this world. Sister.